Turn in your Bibles now, if you will, to Ephesians chapter 5. And I want to read verses 15 through 18, reminding us tonight that we as believers should be filled by the Holy Spirit of God, just like the Bible says. And I ask you tonight, are you filled with the Spirit of God? Are you filled with the Holy Ghost? Don't let that term or the words Holy Ghost, don't let that upset you or make you want to run and hide somewhere. These are the same person, references to the same person, the Holy Spirit and the Holy Ghost. And we're used to some of the Casper in the Ghost and all of that, and we say, well, we'll hold off on that. No, He is the Holy Spirit. He is the Holy Ghost. And we are to be filled with the Spirit of God. Ephesians 5:15. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. God wants us to walk with others watching us, knowing that that's the case. Not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, that is purchasing back, buying back the time, using the time the way that God wants us to, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And here's one thing for sure that God wants to be in our lives. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess. And a lot of people get drunk on wine or alcoholic beverages because they drink those and they are alcoholic, and it makes them act like nuts and fools, and they do things that they normally would not do. In other words, it controls them. We know that there are a lot of women who love their husbands, but their husbands have gotten drunk on wine and been mean. And they'll say something like this, well, that's just not like he normally is. That's just not the way he is. And what they're saying is the alcohol has taken over. But God says, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be what? Filled with the Spirit. Say that with me, would you? Filled with the Spirit. God tells us to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. And let me say right away that the Holy Spirit is a person. Please understand that He is a person, and He has a great ministry in the involvement of the Trinity and in the life of the believer, as well as working in the life of the sinner. Now, what does the Holy Spirit do? What does He do? The Holy Ghost regenerates the believing sinner. He regenerates the believing sinner. The Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, is involved in that. Literally, He's saying there is a recreation. And that recreation that came in your life and my life came as a result of the Holy Spirit of God. And what does He do? The Holy Spirit of God gives us the nature of God, gives us the attitude of God, gives us the new nature according to the Word of God, Titus 3:5. Not by works of righteousness which we have done. I hope you have that one right. But according to His mercy, He saved us. How? By the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. You see, the Holy Spirit's important. And the Holy Spirit is involved in regeneration. He works in our lives. That's exactly what was going on in your life, the day or night, in the place where you accepted Christ as your Savior. The Holy Spirit was drawing you to Him, working in your life, and regenerating you and giving you the nature of God in you. That's why everything became new. And the guy says, my want to's changed. My desires changed. Why? Because the Holy Spirit, when we get saved, gives us a new nature. And then the Holy Ghost baptizes the believer, the one who comes to the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to what Paul said in the 6th chapter division of the book of Romans, verses 3 and 4. Know ye not that as many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death, immersed and placed into His death. Therefore we are buried with Him by baptism unto death, that as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Who puts us into the body of the Lord Jesus Christ? The Holy Spirit of God does. He's important. He works. He places us in the body of Jesus Christ. Now, you know that I'm a local church man. And for those of you who may not know and that are visiting tonight, we believe in the ecclesia, the local New Testament visible church. But also, the Bible says that we are placed into the body of the Lord Jesus Christ by the Holy Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ. This baptism is not water baptism. You do not have to wait until you're immersed in water to be placed into the body of Christ. That is in the New Testament local church. That's how you get into the local church. You get saved, you follow the Lord in believer's baptism, and every saved person should follow the Lord in believer's baptism. I've had people say to me, "Well, preacher, I'm just a little nervous. I'm afraid to get in the water." You mean to tell me that you believe God can keep you out of hell through His Son, Jesus Christ, and you're afraid for a preacher to dip you one time for about 30 inches of a second and put them under the water and bring you right back out? God will take care of that. But we should obey God in believers' baptism. But this is not water baptism. 1 Corinthians 12:13, "For by one Spirit," capital S, Holy Spirit, "are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles." I'm glad God saves anybody, anywhere, anytime. Jew or Gentile, red, yellow, black, or white. Thank God they are precious. The black man and woman is just as precious in the sight of God as the white man or woman. We had an African-American woman saved yesterday, walked the aisle today. Praise God. She's in the body of Christ. And she's been placed there by the Holy Spirit of God. "For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit." One Spirit. Well, thank God we're in the body of Christ. And then the Holy Spirit indwells the believing sinner. The Holy Spirit indwells the person who gets saved, the believing sinner. He lives, he is a person, and he lives in you. 1 Corinthians 3:16, Bible says, "Know ye not that ye are the temple, ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you." Now ponder that a moment. This body that I have is a temple. Now I know you may not think it looks like it, and all of that, and you may think the temple needs a little work, but I'm telling you, my body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, and so is yours if you're saved. And He lives in our bodies. To me, that is an amazing reality. That God, the Holy Spirit, the person, lives in my body. "Ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you." Romans 8:9. "Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his." Friend, if you don't have the Holy Spirit tonight, you've never been saved. If you've been saved, you have Him. He indwells you. He lives in you. And the purpose of the indwelling us is God wants to control our lives and strengthen our lives so that we help others come to Christ and we bring honor and glory to Him. Our bodies are the temple of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit lives in your body tonight if you're saved. And if you don't have Him, you've never been saved. You say, "Well, I'm going to pray through and finally get the Holy Ghost." Oh, no, friend. If you're saved, you have Him. And you have the Holy Spirit in your life. Then the Holy Spirit seals the believer. He seals the believing sinner. I like this one. Thank God for it. 2 Corinthians 1:22, "Who hath also sealed us and given us the earnest," that is, the guarantee of the Spirit in our hearts. We have been sealed. If you're saved tonight, you're sealed. Don't worry about it. You're going to make it to heaven. You're sealed. My mother used to fix those green beans and seal them. And you know, when you'd open it, the lid would pop. If it didn't pop, you didn't eat them. But if it did, you knew they had been sealed and they had been preserved and brought down to you, and we'd enjoy those, eating it with a good meal. We have been sealed. Thank God for that. Sealed with the Holy Spirit of God. And I'm glad tonight that the devil cannot remove that seal. There's no way he can do it. Ephesians 4:30. And grieve not, oh my. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. You can't grieve in it. You can't grieve some impersonal thing out there. And the word grieve does not just mean that you make him unhappy. The word grieve implies that there's love. There is love. The Holy Spirit loves you. And you should love the Holy Spirit. And when you grieve someone, you're grieving someone that loves you very much. It's different from just hurting somebody. We could do that a lot of times to people that we don't love. But when we hurt somebody we love, it bothers us and it grieves that person that we love when we do that. Husband-wife relationship ought to remind us of that. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God by whom ye are sealed. How long? Until or unto the day of redemption. You say, I thought I was already redeemed. You are, but it's progressive. In other words, one of these days you're going to enter into the full redemption. You're going to get out of this body, go to be with the Lord and be with him forevermore. But until then, until that is totally complete, we are sealed by the Holy Spirit of God until the day of our redemption. Well, another thing the Holy Spirit does, and this is what the writer was talking about to the Ephesians, and that is the Holy Spirit fills the believing Christian, the one who has been saved by the grace of God. And in Acts 2:4, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. They were controlled by and filled with the Holy Ghost of God. Some people just can't seem to get a hold of that. They can't seem to get a handle on that, but it's part of what the Bible teaches. The Holy Spirit fills us with himself. So what's the difference in the indwelling and the filling of the Holy Spirit? He indwells us, but are you filled with the Holy Spirit? Is there a difference? Well, there is a difference. It would be like having a guest that you invited into your home, and then the host of that home forgets about him for a little while and leaves him over in just a little room and doesn't pay him any attention. Later, the host remembers that and goes by and admits the guest to every room of the house. And that's what God wants out of my life and your life. He wants every area, every room, every place in my life and in your life. And that would be compared to the filling of the Holy Spirit. Now, the filling of the Holy Spirit does not mean that you get more of the Holy Ghost. And people have that backwards. The filling of the Holy Spirit does not mean that you get more of him. That's not what it means. He's a person and you have all of him. But what it means is the Holy Spirit gets more of you. That's where the problem is. The Holy Spirit does not have more of us. And he does not control us. He, as a person, lives in us. And when you got the Holy Spirit, as I've said many times, you didn't just get an ear. You didn't just get an eyeball. You didn't just get a nose or a hand or a foot. You got the whole person, the Holy Spirit. He lives in you tonight. He wants to control your life. If you'll let him do it, he's there to do it. Now, the first four ministries I've talked about, thank God, can never be lost. If you're regenerated, you can't lose that. And if you're regenerated, you've been baptized into the body of Christ. You cannot lose that. If you have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit and you've been saved, you have him, you know you have him, then you cannot lose that. And the sealing of the Holy Spirit, thank God, we can never lose that. We're going to make it to heaven, assured. I feel sorry for these people who hope they're going and maybe I'm going and if I sin tomorrow, I lose my salvation and so on and so forth. No, you don't lose your salvation. You lose the fellowship, but you do not lose the salvation. These things cannot be lost. Regeneration, baptism of the Holy Spirit, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, the sealing of the Holy Spirit. But unfortunately, the last one I mentioned can be lost. The filling of the Holy Spirit can be lost. And he's talking about that in our text, and in verse 18, don't be drunk with wine when it's excess, but be filled with the Spirit. That is a commandment of God. It could be read this way: be ye being filled with the Holy Spirit of God. And it is a divine, holy imperative, not just a simple suggestion, but God tells us that we're to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Now, how do we lose the filling of the Holy Spirit? When we are disobedient to God in any area of our life, then we will lose the filling of the Holy Spirit. When you knowingly have sin in your life, my friend, and you do not get it right with God, you are not filled with the Holy Spirit. You're not filled with the Holy Spirit. And we are commanded to be filled with the Spirit. There's something called the sin of quenching the Holy Ghost. Quenching the Holy Spirit of God. 1 Thessalonians 5:19 gives us this command: quench not the Holy Spirit of God. Quench not the Holy Spirit of God. That is a command by God. And how do we quench Him? Well, one way is by not doing what He tells us to do. For instance, if He calls you to the mission field, you ought to go, or you're going to quench the Holy Spirit of God and say no to Him. And that would be unwise. If God tells you to do something and you don't do it, you're quenching the Holy Spirit of God. You're doing what He you're not doing what He tells you to do. And we have to be careful about that, grieving the Holy Spirit of God. Sometimes we do what He does not want us to do. And we know that He doesn't want us to do it, but we go ahead and do it anyway. We lose our temper. We get jealous. We get envious. We get mad. We get angry. We have sex sins in our life. We have things that come into our lives that we know do not belong there. Whatever it may be, we know it doesn't belong there. And we, as believers, need to get that out of our lives, because whenever we have that, we are quenching the Holy Spirit of God, among other things. But more accurately, if we refuse to do what He tells us to do, then we're quenching Him. But if He tells us to do something and we do not do it, then it would be like the Holy Spirit telling you to witness to somebody on an airplane. You're flying on an airplane, the Holy Spirit says, I want you to talk to that person. I fly every once in a while, here, there, and yonder, not too often, but usually I'm always thinking when I get on the plane, who am I going to be sitting by? Will it be a teenager, a little boy, a girl, or will it be a fat man, or what will it be? Will I have room in my seat? What's it going to be like on that airplane, and what kind of person am I going to be talking to? And I've met some wonderful people. I've met some strange people. I've met some people who certainly didn't believe like I did, and we've had conversations in the air. I remember being in a sort of a storm one time, and I just turned to the guy and I said, are you ready to meet God if this thing goes down? You say, that's cruel. No, made him think about it. And I left him with a track and some information, a little booklet, and we talked a little bit after it calmed down. But I've met Mormons on the plane. I've met people who were deacons in a Baptist church on a plane. I met a guy who was a deacon in First Baptist Church in Nacogdoches, Texas. I think that's the way you say it. But anyway, over there in the east. And that man was a deacon in the church. And he did the recording to the Sons of the Pioneers and made those like the original ones. And he sent me about 15 or 20, back then it was tapes, and sent those to me as a result of our conversation. But I try to listen and be sensitive to the Holy Spirit of God. And He says, witness to that person. Talk to that person. Maybe it's at a hospital. Maybe it's somewhere else. And yet, if we do not do it, and He has laid it on our hearts to do it and guided us to do it, and probably more importantly, it's just a matter of obeying the Lord, and we don't do it, friend, we grieve the Holy Spirit of God. We grieve Him. He is our sweetheart. He is our darling. He is God in us. He indwells us. We quench Him by not doing what He tells us to do. And these two sins, quite frankly, expanded upon, these two sins can be something that is the sin unto death. If we do not check those things that quench and grieve the Holy Spirit of God in our lives, the Bible says that these very things, if they are persisted in over a long period of time in our lives, they can be something, if unchecked, the very sin unto death. Check it out. It's right there in the Word of God. That's why we don't need to grieve the Holy Spirit to quench Him. When He's speaking to us and we know we're grieving Him, we know we're quenching Him, we need to make things right with God. Being filled with the Spirit, thank God, if we lose it, we can regain it. I'm so glad for that, because often we do lose it. We lose the filling of the Holy Spirit. It may be following our thought life too far. It may be some attitude we have, something else that is in our life. It may be failing to read our Bible or failing to have a good prayer life. A number of different things that could be, and the Spirit of God speaks to our hearts about those. But being filled with the Spirit of God, if we lose it, can be regained. We do not lose Him. He is still there, just like a person is in your body, and we quench Him and grieve Him, and He does not leave us. We lose the filling and the control of the Holy Spirit. And as long as we're walking that way, friend, we're going to have trouble. We're never going to have anything but difficulty and no joy, no peace, no happiness. There's going to be trouble, and we're going to pay the price. But if we will confess our sins, how do you know what to do? Well, just look at the Word of God. By knowing that there is a means of forgiveness. 1 John 1:7. The blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. That, my friend, in 1 John was written to believers. The blood of Christ has never lost its power in your life or my life. And if we'll bring it under the blood and confess it, see it as God sees it, and have grief in our own heart and quit quenching and grieving the Holy Spirit of God, then God will see that things are all right, and we are refilled with the Spirit of God. By knowing God's method of forgiveness, 1 John 1:9, we all are thankful. That is in the Word of God. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Could that be written to an unsaved person? Certainly. But more exactly, you study it out in 1 John, it is written to the saved person. And how do we get the fresh oil, the new filling that we often need? And maybe some of you even need it tonight. It is through confessing and making things right with God. If we confess our sins, that means see it like God sees it. Not just sort of broad stroking over it and not taking it seriously, but seeing any kind of sin in our lives that we know God is not pleased with, something that God is not pleased with, then what we have to do is reckon with it, know we're grieving, quenching the Holy Spirit, and then confess it as sin and ask God to fill us. And when you ask Him, believe He'll do it. Believe He'll do it. Don't go away wondering if He'll do it. Confess and say, "Oh God, fill me afresh with the Holy Spirit," and He'll do it. Now, are you saved? If you're not saved, the Holy Spirit doesn't live in you. And we want you to be saved tonight. The Holy Spirit draws people. And He says, listen to that preacher. That man's telling you the truth. The blood of Christ is the only thing that'll get you into heaven. You need to be saved and come to Him. Have your sins forgiven. And you know you're a sinner. You know you need to be born again. That's not just me, and that's not just your conscience. That's the Holy Spirit, the person speaking to you, saying, do it, come to Christ and be saved. But once we're saved and He begins to indwell us, by God's grace, whatever it is, let's get it out of our lives so that we do not quench or grieve the precious person of the Godhead called the Holy Spirit of God. Let's stand, please. Our heads are bowed, and we'll give the invitation. If you're here without Christ, oh, my dear friend, come tonight. Step out and come to Christ and be saved. Would you come and ask God? Maybe tonight you realize I need a fresh filling. I need fresh oil. I really need it. Sometimes I grieve or quench the Holy Spirit of God. Oh, how precious He is. He's as precious as Jesus. is God in us. He's the sealer of our redemption. May God help you tonight to not quench or grieve the Holy Spirit. Some of you know you're doing that. You have things in your life you know don't belong there. You need to bring it to the Lord. Bitterness, you're still angry at some family member, filled with jealousy and envy, and maybe have a critical heart, maybe depression, fears, all of those things. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit. Bring all of those things to Him. Let Him fill you. Confess. He wants to do it. Father, bless now. Thank you for the precious Holy Spirit. Thank you that He indwells our bodies, calls us, seals us, baptized us into the body of Christ, His very own body. Dear God, I pray now that you'd bless, have your will. Help us to do what's right. Thank you that there is a way when we've lost the filling of the Holy Spirit to immediately regain it. If we go before you in humility and prayer and have the filling of the Holy Spirit, help us to ask for that, to believe it, confess our shortcomings, our sins, those things we know don't belong in our lives, and ask you to fill us afresh and anew, that we may be powerful and happy and effective for the glory of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. While we sing.